And grace and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they say this and they say that. That's not the real question, is it? Who do you say that he is? That's the question. That is the big question. It is the most important question you will ever answer. Who is Jesus? What has he come to do? What difference does that make? That is the central question in life. Not only is it important, but everyone must and will, before God, answer that question. We occupy ourselves with lots of little questions. Where am I going to lunch today? Will I wear my brown or my black shoes? Am I rooting for South Carolina or Clemson? I know that question is a little more important than the shoe question. But let's be honest, it's not that important. I want to work our way back to the question that Jesus asked, but before we do, by way of illustration, every time I read this text, I'm reminded of an occasion at my previous church where we had a guest speaker, and he asked us all a question, an important question. We were at a leadership retreat. My congregation used to do this every couple of years. Every chairman of every board, that's the church council, but not just the chairperson, everybody that led all the major things, like the head of the elders, the head of the altar guild, all the key people of the congregation, we didn't meet at the church. We rented a place to get off campus and spent a couple days there to think about where we're going, what's going on, how is it going, what should we be better at, all that kind of stuff. And I was never the leader of it. We hired somebody from outside of town to come and lead it. Now, here's why. Do you know the old joke? Do you know the definition of an expert? An expert is somebody who drove more than 100 miles, right? So we would hire an expert to come in and tell us leadership things, usually telling us things that I'd been saying for the last 5 years. But if the expert says it, that's oh so engaging, right? But they ask us lots of questions. Here's the question. I'll never forget it. And we weren't supposed to talk with each other. We were supposed to spend several minutes silently thinking, and then everybody had to share it, their answer. And he asked me to share my answer first. This is the question. Why are you a Christian? That's a good question, right? I challenge everyone here to think about that. Why are you a Christian? I'm a pastor. I think, oh, they're going to want me to say something brilliant. I guess I was raised in it. I guess I was raised in it and never left. I guess I was raised in it and agree or whatever, right? You could say all kinds of stuff. This is what I said. I said three words. And it was stunning. Not everybody, but I could tell that most people in the room were disappointed in my answer, because they wrinkled up their nose. Why are you a Christian? Pastor Walt, what's your answer? This is what I said. Thinking about it for several minutes, I said, because it's true. That's what I came up with, because it's true. And people didn't want that answer. I think what they wanted me to say is because I feel it, right? I feel it in my gut. And I get it. I do feel it, right? You feel it. Sometimes you feel the presence of God. Sometimes you leave here pumped up saying, wow, it was great to be in the house of the Lord today. My favorite service of the year is the service of Tenebrae, a beautiful service of reflection on the cross. And it does get you, right? I do feel it. But here's the question. What happens when you don't feel it, right? What happens when you're tired and discouraged or aggravated? That happens. This is what I was thinking. If I don't feel it, I at least need to know it. And that I believe the faith is built on the concrete and the true. That's what I meant. Because it's true. No. That question occurs to me because when Jesus asks his question, I think he's raising the same point. And that is, does your faith have content? Is it just feelings? Feelings are important, but feelings ebb and flow, don't they? Feelings mislead. People sometimes say they feel something and they're actually not quite right about something. So Jesus is saying, is there something other than that? Does the Christian faith teach things that are true, and does it teach things that are tangible? And so he started the conversation. It's a two-part question. What do people say? By the way, I assure you, Jesus isn't worried about what they say. He just wants to start a conversation. Who do people say that I am? And they give several answers. Well, some people say you're Elijah. Elijah's a great prophet from the Old Testament, a miracle worker. God worked mightily through Elijah. The people that said that are not trying to demean Jesus at all. We think he's Elijah. Some people said, we think he's John the Baptist, which is kind of bizarre. John the Baptist has been beheaded. So they're saying John the Baptist was beheaded, and now we think he's come back to life in Jesus. But some people said Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. That's important. He was a powerful preacher, but he was weeping over the state of his people. All those things are nice accolades. People meant them as a positive. Are they right? Right? Not quite. And this is the hard part. They meant to say something high and exalted about Jesus, but they missed. How did they miss? They missed by being insufficient. Jesus isn't the next prophet. Jesus is God. No. That's then. Today, what do people say about Jesus? Here's the fun thing. Jesus has such a profound significance in human history. Everybody actually says something about Jesus. Islam says that Jesus is a prophet. Adam is a prophet, Noah is a prophet, Moses is a prophet, Jesus is a prophet, Muhammad is the last and greatest of the prophets. Read your Quran, Jesus is a prophet. People today like to say that Jesus is a great teacher, he's a social reformer. Scientology says that Jesus is an operating thetan. Look that up online this afternoon, an operating thetan. There are always options, right? Mahatma Gandhi said, I like your Christ, I don't like your Christians. What he meant was, I like to pick the pacifist parts out of the Bible and miss the divinity claims in the Bible, right? Lots of people make Jesus out to be what they want. And so that's why Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Here's something to know. In the Greek, the word you is a plural. You know, in English, the word you can be either singular or plural, you one or you. What is you plural? Y'all, right? I know, I'm not saying it. I'm just not. In the Northeast, it's you guys. In New Jersey, it's you guys, which is really bad. What do you all say about Jesus? That's what he said. Because he's not asking Peter, he's asking who? Everybody. Everybody. What do all y'all say about Christ? And Peter, always the first to speak, kind of raises his hand like he's the eager student, right? I know the answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is he right? That's it. This is the Christ. He's not the prophet. He's the one the prophets talked about. He's not a prophet. He's the one the prophets pointed to. Christ dies for your sins and mine. Nobody else does that. Take all the best thinkers, take your favorite writers, all human beings. Jesus is human, but he's the God-man who has come in the flesh. There's no one like him. We need to be absolutely clear about this. There is nobody ever like Jesus. It's not arrogance, it's just the truth. It's who he is. Not Moses, not Noah, not Abraham, all men. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the Christ that saves. Now, Jesus is going to go real rapid fire through some things in responding to that answer, and I want to look at them quickly, but here they are. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. I love that verse. This is something we say as Lutherans. It's right. We don't decide for Jesus. We don't bring ourselves to the faith. We have been acted upon, right? Salvation is outside of us and comes to us. It's a gift. God put that in you, Peter. And then he says, on this rock I will build my church. I want us to get this. That's not the beginning of the papacy. On this rock I'll build what? My church. Jesus is setting up a church. Who's in the church? Everybody who shares this confession. That's what he's saying. The rock is the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is not another. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want us to get this. The church is the one that's playing offense. The church is the one that's supposed to move out. I'm not sure why we always act like the church is beleaguered or something. No, the church is, we're moving forward. We're knocking down the doors of Satan, right? The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. I want to get this. Sometimes the church teaches us like this is our power. It's not about power. It's about proclaiming what God has sent us to proclaim. The loosing is the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus, your sins are forgiven. That's the loosing. The binding is that it is our job to discern the difference between false and correct teaching. Not just my job, by the way, that's your job, to discern false and correct teaching, including in the sermons, by the way. You're supposed to listen. Does our pastor have that right? And this crazy closing thing that Jesus says, did you catch it? Tell no one. Who am I? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, you're right, don't tell anybody. I want us to get this. This is what he means. He means not yet. Not yet. He's got something to do. And in Matthew 28, when he's risen from the dead, what does he say? Go tell everybody. Go tell the nations. In the bulletin, we print the scripture reading as it's appointed for the week. This is something for us to notice in my Bible. We got the next verses. Jesus is making clear to them who he is. He's speaking of their faith, drawing it out, refining it. They already believe, by the way, in Matthew 14, they've confessed their faith. So he's not asking them to believe. He's asking them to draw it into focus. Why? Because the next verse, literally the next verse says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Do you see what he's doing? Who do people say that I am? Lots of choices. Okay, fine, but who do you say? You're the Christ. True. And I'm headed to Jerusalem to die. He's preparing them for that. That's what he's doing. He's preparing them. They're going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to die. What's he going to do after that? Rise. That's who he is. That's what it means. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who dies and rises for the sin and salvation of the world. This is what we need to get. That is the biblical faith of Jesus. No less will do. No less. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.